Welcome to the reality and brutally honest truth about special needs planning. My name is Patrick Barbieri, Executive Director of Lab Collaborative. Okay, first announcement. Lab Best Buddies Craft Fair will be held on December 7th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. These are always held at the Lexington High School cafeteria, 251 Waltham Street. So please come out and enjoy the day with us. It's always a great event. Secondly, I just wanted to mention that I did a podcast on AFC, Adult Family Care, which formerly was Adult Foster Care. There's been many questions that have come up about this. So we did a great podcast and we'll be putting that out pretty soon. I think it'll answer all of your questions. All right, so let's get on to the podcast that you will be listening to. This was a really good one. I think you'll really enjoy it. Let me start by saying that we first did a podcast back in August of 2016 with Thomas Byrne, who is the owner of the Real School of Music in Burlington, and Heather Lunn, who is the Director of Education at the Real School of Music. And at this time, Lab was looking to expand our music program, or we're looking to change it up. We just needed another approach. And the Real School of Music had developed a program called Amplify, which was a methodology in teaching students with special needs music. And this was a real great opportunity for Lab to be part of something new. And we did a podcast back then just to talk about the beginnings, how we're going to get it off the ground. And you know, we talked about the differences between music therapy and adaptive music, which is what we do, what Amplify does. So if you get a chance, it's kind of the it'd be a prerequisite to this almost, and we've got to give you that background information. But we've been at it for about 3 years, and it really started to expand and catch on. And it's just, you know, it's one of our core values that we're going to bring more music into our program. So I reached out to Lisa Simons, and Lisa was instrumental in bringing this program to Lab. Lisa is an instructor at Amplify, and if you meet Lisa, you just feel this passion for music. She just really can, you know, bring it in a way that nobody else can. And I think, you know, when you start a new program and you're bringing it into the public schools and into Lab, you know, you got to convince people. You know, you got to show the staff and the parents that this is something that is really worthwhile. And Lisa just came on and she brought it. And the staff just responded very positively to her. The students were getting so much out of it. I can't tell you. So I just felt it was appropriate to bring Lisa on to tell her story of, you know, when we first started to where we are now. So it's just been a great project. So we do. We talk about the then and now. We also talk about a new program that we started utilizing the Amplify methodology and the Lab curriculum and kind of marrying them together. And it's just something that we're piloting and we're trying it out in our Bedford program. And Lisa is part of that. I really enjoy working with everybody from the Amplify staff. Douglas Weber is also another person at Amplify that we do all the coordinating with and the new programs. And, you know, sitting down and talking to Douglas, you know, it's always something innovative, you know, looking at doing something out of the box. And instead of just talking about it, you know, we actually try to do it. So everybody from Tom to Heather to Douglas and Lisa, you know, it's just been a great relationship. And, you know, we just look at doing more in the future. And that's one of the things that we also talk about in the podcast as well. So sit back and enjoy, hope that you are enjoying these podcasts. I think this is our 18th one, and we're just going to continue to bring it to you. All right, thank you very much. How's it going, Lisa?
I'm great. How are you?
Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I look at these lights once in a while. I'm just making sure this recorder is going. Okay. A couple of times it has shut off.
Oh, really? That's okay.
So, we've come a long way with our music program and lab, and we owe so much to you and your enthusiasm and your spirit and everything about just what we've done. I just thought it was a time that, we came together and just talk about where we are.
Yeah. So, Well, I'm driven. These kids give me so much energy, don't they? You cannot leave lab in a bad mood. Leave lab in a bad mood. I fall in love every day, over and over again.
Well, when you first came on, I couldn't remember the places where you started and stuff. We'll talk about it, but I would talk about the program and I said, Lisa, the music teacher. Oh yeah, we love Lisa, and you just, all the environments that you came to, I think people, it was infectious about what you believed in music and what you could bring to our population of students. So, starting off with somebody like yourself, I think it convinced our staff of the value of music and what it can bring. And because we did it a little bit in lab, but not in the widespread that we do now. Sure. So I think with anything, that's new and stuff, not that music is new, but what we were doing is new.
Yes.
Just you were able to really convince them and show them. So that went a long way.
Thank you. That means so much.
And not only that, the and we'll talk about some of the performances that you've done in the school. When you get up, for the audience here, if you don't know Lisa, she is not shy. She can get in front of an audience and without prep and just talk. And it'd be really, enlightening. And I think the first time, was when you spoke to the Memorial Elementary School. And when our kids were doing a performance as part of the larger performance of Memorial. And I think your explanation was just enough to kind of show what our students could do.
Well, wasn't the general ed kids so intrigued?
Yeah.
They loved it. So if I recall what we did, it was for the Memorial Day performance.
Right. Yeah.
And I reminded the kids, and there were so many parents there too, I reminded the rest of the school that music is such a different way of teaching, right? It uses a different part of the brain and all this kind of stuff. And, the science behind it, I don't know, but it works. I always remind people when you're trying to alphabetize something at your house, you cannot say your alphabet. You have to sing it. And you never forget.
That's right,
You never forget a letter when you sing that tune.
Right,
so
right.
Using that for our kids is amazing. I can name all the planets in the order from the sun by a song that I learned in fifth grade.
So true.
And I'm an old lady, right? So that's what I feel like. I feel like, and I explain to the parents, we do some sign language to remind the kids to get them moving and using the muscle memory to remember the song. And it's so much fun.
Yeah,
it's so much fun.
Well, there is, I think people do ask about the data, and there is so much of it out there, I think, that we're seeing it come out more often, and I think that's good because, and we did a study with Harvard University a couple of years ago where they were studying parts of the brain, and they were obviously into this to show the empirical data about how music affects the brain and what parts of the brain it affects by the different types of music we listen to. So I think there's a lot of stuff, the whole UDL community, I think if you listen to that, what's his name, David Rosen does a talk and it's all about music and how it plays. So, what we do, and I want to make this perfectly clear to everybody, because I think you hear music therapy and adaptive music. And in lab, we had done some music therapy in kind of pockets of our program, if students had it on their IEP. Sure. And what we've moved to, and what we don't do music therapy now, we do adaptive music. And I think that's sometimes, I think in the world of special education, we look at these titles and we look at these genres as being the specific thing. Mm-hmm. But what our mission was is to bring more music to more students in lab. It was as simple as that.
Yes.
Because if you can see how the students react to it, that's what we were trying to...
I walk into a classroom, Patrick, and they applaud.
They
applaud. They're ready, and they clap because they're so excited. And, you know, talk about me being lucky, but they're also just as excited. They don't take it as a class. They take it as joy.
Absolutely.
Joy, and they're learning so much.
And what stimulated me to do this, I was thinking, I went to see you in the class, you know...
Yeah. Over in Lexington.
And who are you teaching with? Who
was that? Terry O'Malley, the best of the best. Yeah.
She's great. And so we're sitting in the class and observing, and I just kept on thinking how far we have come.
Oh, I know.
So more students were coming to class, and everybody was engaged. I mean, talk about, you know, seeing no behaviors, or they were excited. There was one student who just kept them coming up and really wanted to get started and participate. But
yeah,
I think, yeah, they know what to expect. They're happy to be there. And, you know, I know this happens in lots of other classrooms, but
sure.
I just thought about, because we hadn't done anything in Lexington. I remember we were doing all, you know, like Bedford, Arlington, and we kind of said we got to move to Lexington as well. So I think what happens now is more of our teachers are asking for more music and more classes, and which is awesome.
It's so awesome.
So that kind of was the impetus of getting together and just talking about where we are. So it was just great to see it. And I think, you know, when we talk about our populations from low level to high level, this was a fairly low level classroom, but the expressions that they were giving, and obviously from you having been there before, it was just all coming back, and it was awesome.
They're so amazing. Yeah. They're such a huge part of my life. Yeah. And, you know, the thing that's so different about us from music therapy, and I'm obviously not bashing music therapy, it's so important, but it's different because music therapy, they go in with the disability in mind.
Mm-hmm.
We go in with the ability in mind.
Mm-hmm.
All we care about is the stuff they can do.
Right.
That's all we care about.
Yeah.
I do not care if you can walk, talk like I do, whatever. Yeah. I do not care.
Right.
We're there to jam. We're there to have a good time. Sing a duet with me. Get up and dance in your own way.
Yeah.
And how much fun we have. And they teach me so much.
And the participation piece of it, because, you know, I think, you know, Amplify, this is the organization that we work with, and I think it's not just coming and you are, like you said, you mentioned you're doing the music, but there's a curriculum behind it. There's the you know, and I think that how we show that someday maybe needs to be done through video, because you and I can talk about it, but I think when you see it, but ultimately it ends up in a performance.
Yes. Oh yes.
And that is the ultimate reason why we all did music in school, was to perform, get up and sing. You don't have to be a perfect singer. It doesn't really matter. You just the expression of it.
Yeah. And the confidence.
Yeah.
Everyone needs more confidence, especially when you're in school.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that, you know, these kids going out into the real world, they can run the world as far as I'm concerned. But in school, you need confidence. You need confidence. It's tough.
Absolutely.
It's tough. These teenagers, oh my goodness, it's hard. So the confidence, they want to get up. They fight over who's going to go next and perform a solo. Come on. I love it. I love it.
That's great. I think, again, the performance part of it when we first started talking was great, because, you know, the 12-week curriculum or however it followed, and how you build it up. I mean, you don't see it. There's this lesson plan that's right in front. It's just a natural progression of how you're moving through the things that you're teaching. So, I just, before I forget, I do want to say, so we expanded. We do music in almost all of our programs now. We do want to add more. But one thing, unique thing that we added, we had talked about this in the past, is doing a curriculum based on transition.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So, and I do also want to mention the people that, you know, when we first started this, Tom Byrne, who's the owner of Real Music, we got together, we spoke about what could be.
Yes.
Started working with Douglas Weber.
Yes.
Who was great. Heather Lund, she's awesome.
Yes.
Self. I mean, I can't, it's such a great team.
And the best people.
Yeah.
Just the best people. Yeah.
And innovative in the sense, like, what could we do differently? Just like you mentioned about remembering, you know, why don't we try to find a way to put this into one of our curriculum strands? And transition, as you know, is the most significant thing on people's minds. So right now over in Bedford, they're trialing. Are you doing this?
It's
well?
Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's
all right.
Me.
All right. Good. All right.
And Heather Lund is coming as my co-teacher.
Oh, that's great.
Tell me that isn't amazing.
Because I'm on the Slack where she's talked to
Alicia. Alicia.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of see what they're doing, which is great. So that we talked about that probably last year. Some I had met with Tom, and we had talked about resources that were available, and we kind of got put on hold, and Douglas came in, we kind of chatted about it, and we finally decided let's trial this, and this could be really something new and exciting. But the way that you're delivering the methodology through music and the curriculum, again, based on that 12-week, you know, and the performance of it, who knows what that can be? And students looking forward to doing this and being excited about, I'm excited to see what happens at the end of the...
Yes. The career class itself, I want to take it. Isn't it so cool? I mean...
Essential skills.
Yes.
Yeah.
So essential. Every little thing about remembering to wear your uniform, remembering your ID, how important that is, how we have to respect every single person if we're feeling some, you know... I mean, I could say to my boss, I'm having a tough time, I need a break. But do our kids know that that's an option?
Right.
And learning that and explaining how to ask properly. And then, you know, Alicia's been coming up with Star Students of the Week.
Right, I saw that.
And we've been singing with them. Yeah. And the student that it was last week, oh my goodness, he was shouting congratulations to himself, to himself. How wonderful is that? I mean... just so proud of themselves for learning and the jobs that they have. Somebody's testing batteries.
We have over 20 sites that students are going to. So all sorts of experiences.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. I want to know how to test a battery. Like, that's so cool.
It is.
They have so much to teach me.
Well, again, from when we first started to what we did to what we're doing now, this could be something that we take... obviously to the other classrooms that we have as well. So, but we figured that environment would be a nice, you know, the students there, we did a lot of research studies there. So looking forward to see, but I see the excitement just when we were talking about doing it and getting it off the ground. And certainly the teachers over there are wonderful and they're always open to new things. And then we have, you know, a fairly new vocational coordinator that's like, wow, this is new. This is different, but just takes it right on and says, you know, I'll give you my very best. So with your methodology and all of our curriculum, we're just kind of marrying them together.
Yes.
And it's exciting.
So far, so good. There's so many specific terms that she uses to teach the class that we need to get a handle on, just so that we can make sure that the kids are, you know, we're right on their wavelength, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we're at right now, kind of observing a lot, taking in a lot of information while singing.
Yeah, that's great. So the other thing I want to go back to, because this is kind of a then and now and how we've progressed. When we first started working with Lisa and Amplify and the team, it was only a couple of classes.
You say it was only a couple of classes.
I thought it was.
Patrick, I started with 20 half-hour classes.
Wow.
That was a lot.
That
was a lot for me.
But that was all on one person.
It was only me, yeah. It was 10 hours a week, and I was doing 20 half-hour classes.
Wow.
Yeah. So it obviously wasn't enough students because we've expanded, but yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I guess because we're in 16 different buildings, right? So I look at it as when we first started, it was a little bit more, you know, in just a few districts, right?
Sure.
Then we kind of expanded from there, so... compared to where we are now. Yeah. But it's certainly, and I think too, you know, the staff that have come on and either modeled what you did, mm-hmm. or however you trained the staff. I actually did go over to the Real School one time when you were doing UDL training.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I think that, you know, teachers are coming in who are, some are familiar with students with special needs, others may not be, yeah. but they're kind of following a model. And this wouldn't have worked unless we just had good people that would be able to come into our classes, connect with the teachers, connect with the students, and all we've heard is great things from everybody. So you've been the model for that, and I think people have got excited about what our kids can do. So mm-hmm. I think it's just that's tremendous. So I think looking at it, I looked at it as almost a pilot back then, even though it sounds like you're doing a lot more. But I the vision was always expanding it into all of our classes.
Yes.
But we had to get buy-in. We had to make sure that we understood that we're not doing music therapy. We're doing adaptive music and what that means.
Sure.
And the value of it. Then I think once people started seeing it and parents started hearing what was going on in the class, you speaking to parents one-on-one
yes.
about this, it was a pretty easy road, because I think, again, going back to your spirit and your passion for it, that just kind of came out loud and clear. So who's not going to want to be
of course
this?
Participate?
So, yeah, yeah.
It's just so fun.
We got to make more video though.
I think you're right.
You know, podcasts are awesome.
Yeah,
but when you see it,
yeah,
that's
right.
What matters.
You're right. There's a couple Amplify videos and I cry, and I'm in them. I cry because the joy in those few moments of those videos are.
Yeah, yeah.
It brings me to life.
Did you see our over the summer? Trish Costa did a it was a talent show, and she just did it. It was a one day thing, but it was. She put it up to the teachers to see if students were interested. We just had this one day during the summer, during our Paulapalooza.
I love it. Yeah. Yes.
And she always wanted to do it. Yeah. You know, she called it a talent show. And now that music is embedded with us and people know that this is part of our core values and what we're doing, what a day that was.
Was it?
I mean, the kids going on stage and anything from rap to somebody playing the piano. There's one student that I didn't realize played the piano. He got up there and did a solo. So I think that when we say that this is part of our values,
yeah.
and we hold something, an event like that, now it just becomes part of who we are. I'll send you some videos on that. And again, when you talk about getting emotional and this is...
I'm a wreck.
Happened.
Yeah, I'm a wreck.
But when they're performing, how can you not feel that?
I know.
You know, they're just given 110% of themselves.
And the things I think about are like, I was born able to sing. I would say that's all I got. You know, that's all I got. I'm not super scholarly. I'm not an academic person. I'm not an athlete, but I was able to sing from however old. And then some people that, you know, may have cerebral palsy or something like that, how difficult it is to even speak and how much more muscle it takes them and how hard they have to try. It's a marathon for them to sing a song and they choose to do it over and over and over again with a smile.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could be causing them pain and agony or whatever, and that you would never know it.
Yeah, so true.
And yeah, I cry because who am I to have been able to have it so easy, right?
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
It's really, they're amazing what they teach me.
So if we continue to increase the amount of music in school, we are trialing something now with a important curriculum that we have and we implement music into it. You know, our students get on a van, come from 70 districts, get on a van, and they're in the band for a while, coming to school and going home. And I just think about the motivation to come to school, looking forward to music, knowing that they're going to have that every day. All of this also helps other skills
of
with
course,
students.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't have it every day. We have it specific programs, and you know, for us to do it in every class every day, I don't know if that's realistic or not. But again, I look at this when I went to school, and I mean, who didn't look forward to music class? Right. I mean, there were some people that obviously didn't, yeah. But I mean, for the most part, yeah. Those are the classes that you know, I wouldn't have learned to play an instrument if I wasn't part of music class.
I know. Yeah. I know.
So I want our students to be able to get that same joy. They do get the joy. You come to one of our dances.
Yes.
And we had the Halloween dance. That first beat that goes on, they're on the floor.
I know. My husband and I chaperoned one of the proms, and you know, the person that was running it said to us, you might need to encourage them to get out on the dance floor. Well, it started at 7 o'clock, and by 7:04, there was no room. We didn't have to ask anybody, nothing. There was no room. We couldn't even walk through the dance floor. There were dancers, there were wheelchair dancers, there was everything, nobody cared. And those people know how to party.
Incredible.
Yeah.
We did our reunion dance. We do one every fall. And I think they were trying to prolong the dinner, so everybody sat down. But you could see they were just walking on the dance floor.
Love it.
And you know, the dinner was still going on. And I remember saying this, I think we got to turn the music on.
Yes, yes. They wanted no part of dinner.
And then, boom, they're gone. And,
yeah.
And it's such a great spirit. So, again, back to, you know, having our students, because we work with so many populations of students, so maybe some students can't express how much they like it. They're just showing it by their body language.
Sure.
But if it's part of all of our classes and you're looking forward to coming to school, just those, I mean, it just releases the dopamine and the serotonin.
Oh, yes.
All that stuff just comes out on you.
I know.
So again, I look at how we started, mm-hmm. where we are today, which is great, and then where we can be going. The other I should also mention too, when we first started, I think we did it September through June.
Yeah, September through June.
Now we do summers.
Yes.
We even do our LSEP program.
Yes.
Not that we do a whole lot of it, but we keep it going. So it's almost 12 months that we're keeping,
yes.
you know, you guys involved and
yes.
just, you know, making sure that we know that that's available. So I think, you know, as I talk to everybody and kind of look at that future, I depending on how this class goes with the transition, which I, you know, again, we have the right team doing this.
Yeah.
I only see it as being positive. But if we looked at 5 years from now, you know, would our curriculum be more based on methodologies using the music? I don't know. You can't say no, and you have to say there's going to be some value in this. You
Definitely.
Have to look at what the opportunities are.
Yeah, the positivity that comes from it alone is, even if we're not there for some reason, they're going to have that ingrained in them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to remember the star song that they're already singing and the encouragement.
Right,
and
right.
We got to, oh, it's just amazing.
So I think the future, what we first started this off was, again, to bring music to our students. Now we're in a phase where we're bringing it. We want to bring more of it, and they're starting to now perform and really express themselves. That's good. Then we have the kind of the third phase, which is now putting it into our curriculum. I don't know anybody doing that. Again, I only go back to the UDL because I know you use
sure.
it. I think that they kind of look at it from how the brain, you know, is developed and how it remembers things, and so there has to be something to that. So if this is a curriculum that we're able to put together, but simple enough that any teacher can kind of adapt it. Not so,
absolutely.
You don't have to be a music teacher
to be able to do this.
Yeah.
It's simple mm-hmm. enough, definitely. And there's so many with the UDL, there's so many different ways. It
right.
breaks it down so much
yeah.
that there's so many different ways of going about it.
Yep, yep.
Obviously, we can walk into a classroom with a plan, and we can end up using it or not using it,
right,
depending
right.
on each second for each student may
right.
be changing.
Yeah.
But so frequently, it just runs
yeah.
incredibly smooth for them.
That's great.
They
yep.
look forward to it. They know exactly what they're expected.
Right.
Once we start our vocal warm-ups, they know they're in kind of music mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all about it. They know what's coming next.
That's great.
And
so what would you say from when you first taught your first class, a lab, compared to how you teach it now? I mean, what would you say is different? And how do you, what's evolved in your experience?
Evolved mostly is, I would say, their connection to music and their confidence. Mm-hmm. At first, it was such a group thing. And we still do it as a class, right?
Yep, yep.
But now, each student wants to show off what they can do.
Right.
You know, back when we first started, it was, okay, let's all sing this song together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pass out the instruments and talk about that. You know, for I mostly had younger when
right.
we first started.
Right.
I didn't get into the older kid.
Yeah.
So it was younger music, younger songs, and learning about specific curriculum, right?
Right.
Whether it be planets or colors or how those make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's so specific. They want to tell you in their song, or sing it as a solo, or come up, or can I lead warm-ups?
Right.
I have never said no. I have never said no. I'm like, you're on. Let's go. You know, because it's become more specific to each kid.
Right.
And knowing what each kid can do. And these learners, they're learning from each other.
Mm-hmm.
1 week, maybe, say, you want to come up and sing. Now, I might be super shy or feel like I'm not able to do that, but by next week, I'm trying it.
Right.
Because,
Yeah.
That's what I have seen expand so much.
That's great.
So much. And it's not necessarily that the curriculum has changed or the methodology.
Mm-hmm.
It's that the students have changed and grown and learned so much.
That's great. So, along with that, as you know, we have different populations of students.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you're using the same kind of structure of the curriculum and just adapting it, or are you doing something totally different?
That's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're just adapting it.
Yeah.
I go in with a plan
and
I adapt it, not necessarily to the class, to each student.
Yeah.
To each student.
That's right.
And that's why it works, is because I think over these past few years, I've gotten to know them so well.
Right.
And I hear from teachers, I hear from you, I hear from parents on what may be going on at home, what's changing, you know, maybe they moved and their van ride is longer. You have to adapt for that.
Yes.
You have to adapt for that.
That's
and you have to know exactly what they need.
Right.
And I personally, and my team, my co-teachers, we bend over backwards to make sure they get every single speck of what they need.
Yeah.
There's a student, we're singing about fall right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning about everything they love about fall. Well, one student doesn't like Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I can appreciate that, because I do not like it too much either. And you know, when that student's in the room, we're all about Thanksgiving. We're talking about the food that day. And if that student needs a break, we're back on to Halloween. We know what we have to do. And the other kids in the class, I don't think even have figured out that we're just giving each other the eyeball that we need to change the topic, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not about calling somebody out in a negative way.
Right.
We just turn it around.
That's great. I mean, you're talking exactly how we're supposed to do the IEP, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, differentiating instruction. I mean, you're doing that just naturally. So that it's so great to hear how it does. Because as you get to know the students, you get to know them individually, what they like. So that's such a great example of making it work for that student.
Yeah.
And
We have to. No one can be uncomfortable learning.
Right.
You can't make it uncomfortable learning.
Yeah.
They're going to learn enough in the world that's hard.
Yes, yeah, no.
Everything's hard. For someone that's considered neurotypical, I say considered because I don't think there's such thing as neurotypical at all, right? We all have our challenges.
Yeah.
We all have our challenges.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's internal, external, physical, mental, we all have our challenges.
Yeah.
So that for them to get through their lives, all of our lives are so difficult.
Absolutely.
And nowadays with the telephones and the cell phones, the internet, our kids in lab are now starting to date each other.
Oh yeah.
They're so in love. We know their ability to love is far beyond what, when I was in high school, was able. They could talk to each other on the phone all day.
They
sing each other love songs. We didn't do that. We have a boy that sings his girlfriend love songs in my class. I'm like, nobody sang
that's
me any love songs. Nobody sang me any love songs, right? It's real.
We
very real.
We have so many students that just, you know, get involved in different musical stuff, even outside of lab. And, you know, the students go to the real school on weekends, and they do nighttime stuff, so we encourage that.
A few are coming to my voice students are having, like, their recital kind of thing on Tuesday. I'm running a showcase, and a couple are coming. And my voice students are so excited because they've come to some of our musicals, etc., and they're the best audience members.
That's great.
They're best audience members. I mean, rowdy at the end of every song, clapping, dancing, singing along, laughing. And
So are they just integrated with other kids as well, or do you have a specific class?
They have a specific class, but when I run my musicals, it's you know, general ed, and we do full musicals. We just did, like, Guys and Dolls. But some of the lab students came. And I have one student that passed out some flyers, some programs, and stuff like that. Part of it, he was in my program listed as the usher.
That's great.
And then they come, and boy, are they ready and dancing and don't want to leave. And
well, I think they feel part of the community, and that to us is important, because if they want to do, we do it in school, just like we all do. If we want to do more of it, we go to music school. So if we're starting to see that, that's again another benefit of them wanting to just do more and more. And a voice, you know, I just think I don't see the choruses anymore. I love to see something like that. Maybe we do something like that.
You know,
as a project, because I think that is what we're all used to going and see. My sister, who she used to do a lot of musical stuff, but she liked to sing and she loved music, and she went through all phases of the music that was coming out at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just right there, you know. So my mother would try to send her up for these choruses. They were hard to find back then.
We've come a long way. And that's one positive thing about the internet and stuff like that too, is you can find each other. You know.
Absolutely.
It's such a community, but you can find each other.
So back to the performances, and I know, and this is, so all of lab programs are in public schools.
Yes.
And I think about when we talk about what we do and what our students, like you say, can do, and I think that's such a great perspective to take. Would you say, you know, that you know, getting involved in the school's performances is something that we should continue to try to, again, because we're in the public schools, we want to be respectful, but we also want to say our students can access this and actually look what they can do.
Yes.
So,
of course they should be part of it.
Yeah.
They're just as much part of that school as the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they need the access, the ability to watch the other kids perform.
Mm.
It may be more difficult for them to sit through it.
Yeah.
They're going to learn from that.
Mm.
We're going to see that. And these other kids, the general ed kids, need to learn that somebody may be struggling that they don't know, and how to experience that, how not to stare, how to ask questions, how to learn from them, and then to see, oh my gosh, that kid can sing, and I'm learning how to sign.
Mm.
We had our kids teach them how to sign for the flag song. The whole school was signing.
Right.
How beautiful was that?
And I think there are some schools that it's expected that we're involved and our students are going to be part of it. But again, I look at our 16 schools, and it's a small number of them that do it. But if it was, we just kind of found our way in there and found, you know, I think that, you know, the students are seeing our kids in the school. But I mean, the stuff that we participate with and they can do, I think they would be amazed at how they could just integrate. Or, like, again, I look at the Memorial one as kind of the first one, because that to me was everybody was sitting there watching, and I got so many positive feedback.
It was emotional.
Afterwards. Absolutely.
It was emotional. The parents, like, my child never has been able to. I'm like, they have been able to. They just didn't have the platform.
Right.
We're giving them a great platform and fighting for them to get up there. And it's not a fight. It's just asking. But, you know.
Absolutely.
People need to ask, can we perform? Of course.
Yep, of course.
Why not?
The other thing I wanted to mention too, I mean, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, I had to ask you and Heather to come in to speak to our staff.
Yeah.
And I think that that we got to do that again.
That was fun.
Because yeah. it was, they loved it.
Yeah.
The place was packed.
Yeah.
So when I'm getting staff saying that I want more music, I want additional classes, I think sometimes it takes a while to understand, you know, how it's all working. And once it starts to click in, you know. But when you got up there and Heather to talk to the staff, I think for some staff, in a positive way, it's like, oh, I didn't realize it was like this. This is different.
Yes. Because we all took music in school.
Right.
Right? And we had to sit there and maybe mm-hmm. read notes or whatever. And I think that's where the brain goes immediately. That's what I had, so that's what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And this is so different.
Right.
You know, it's not, we're not teaching how to necessarily read music. They definitely learn that mm-hmm. sometimes. Mm-hmm. But even just some students who are still learning to read, mm-hmm. are now holding lyric sheets. We have students that are visually impaired, right?
Yeah,
completely visually impaired. They have a cane because they're visually impaired, but they look forward to holding that music, that lyric sheet. They love having their lyric sheet because it's so important to them, and participating and doing just what everyone else is doing and singing along, it's so different. So, yeah, I think for us, the brain goes to like, oh, I didn't like that music teacher or whatever, right?
Yeah, true, right.
Right? And now they're seeing the difference that we're bringing.
I wrote something in one of my articles about how music changes through elementary to middle school to high school, at least for me, because I remember in elementary school, my music teacher was all about participation.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's what you guys are doing.
Yes.
And that's why I loved it. I remember getting into middle school, and it was all about music appreciation, but learning about the composers.
Okay. That's kind of boring.
It was boring. And I was just like, oh man, I'm gonna be picking up an instrument. I want to be playing, you know.
Sure.
And I look at that type of lecture kind of format and how are we encouraging students to do music. Doesn't mean it has to be an instrument. Like you said, it could be the voice.
Sure, that's a great instrument.
So, and even high school, then it becomes like sports, I guess. You feel like, oh, music's my thing now, I can get into this, and if you're not, but why wouldn't we continue just to make that part of the curriculum, you know?
Sure.
So if you look at special education and where that has come, again, that IEP is the holy grail, and it should be, and that's why our students have their rights, but if it's taking out all of the other stuff that we cannot fit in, like the music, like the arts, then I think we're missing a big piece of special education. And that's hard to talk to people about because, again, knowing families and their kids, they want to give them the very best. They want to give them as much as they can. But that whole other piece of the expression. And but I just don't want to forget about all of the things that when we grew up and what we enjoyed about school. So in lab, we're just trying to bring more of that in.
Yes.
So it does, so now this whole time on learning, it's like, well, how are we gonna fit all this? And
yeah.
But what is a priority for one student could be not a priority for another. I just want the students to feel good to come to school and know, I'm gonna have some music, I'm gonna have some art, I'm gonna have some recreation, because it's a long day for them.
It is a long day. They travel so far.
Yeah,
it's a lot. And they take in so much information.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sometimes it's harder for them or some things are easier for them, just like for everybody. But music, I have heard from more teachers than not. This student doesn't come to school that much, but they always come on Tuesdays when they have music.
Right. Yeah.
They always come on Tuesdays, and I don't think that's a coincidence, you know. They're so smart. They got us all figured out. But
yeah, so true.
I think it's so important to them, and they're enjoying it.
Right.
They're enjoying it and learning so much.
So you got the transition class going. That's new, that's new for you. How often do you do that? Once a week?
Once a week, 45 minutes on Tuesdays. And this was only like our fourth week, so we just started it, yeah.
So let me ask you, and this is, I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, boy. Bit,
but that's what we do. So if you look where you came, where we are, now what you're doing something new, you know all of our programs. We're in all 16 different buildings, different populations of students. I mean, if you looked at it from a musical perspective and a curriculum perspective,
sure.
and knowing that we have to do all the other school, we have to do the reading, the math, and all this kind of has to be in there, and all of the specialist services, which are extremely important. I mean, where would you see 5 years from now what it could be? What would it look like? What would you see as being Amplify's, you know, kind of role in development? Would you see it for developing curriculum and add music to that? I mean,
I think what it has to be first is the joy. Mm-hmm. That's number one, because they need to want to be there, mm-hmm. and they need to want to take it in.
Right.
I do notice a lot of what time of day the class is. Like if they're hungry, those students are not participating as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I know you know that. Yeah. But in 5 years, I think our curriculum, you know, combined with yours, mm-hmm. which it's your curriculum that we're adapting to music, would be so much more. Because going to these jobs, learning the transitions, learning, I mean, if you had a song in your head every day for what you couldn't forget to bring, I mean, Adam Sandler just did a song, what is it, cell phone keys, wallet, cell phone keys, wallet. These are the things that we're teaching our kids, right? And Adam Sandler's trying to steal from us. But, you know, don't forget to put on your deodorant. Don't forget to brush your teeth, all that stuff. Then when I get to work, I need to make sure I have. That'll last forever.
Yeah, true.
In five years, they'll be teaching their general ed students, you know, how to do that. They'll be telling their boss, I think today you forgot your, right? So smart. I think it only moves forward.
Yeah.
I think it only moves forward. In the transition program, I wish they taught me that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the skills that we take for granted.
For granted, no kidding. Yeah.
Yeah, the other piece too, I mean, we've talked about the Woodland House and having our students go there, and in the future we're going to be doing post 22, so we need to talk all about that too, because eventually, you know, we're going to have a curriculum out there, we're going to be doing our thing, but we also, the recreational part of it too, also we want to be significant. It already starting to develop as well, so I mean, I look forward to do, I think in where we're at in lab and what we've done, we've stuck really to our niche, but we looked at creative ways of how we can, you know, keep our mission, but add on, like we added the ICE program, right? So that's but it's still within our genre.
Sure.
Now we got the transition, which we're doing, now we're doing the post 22. It's just building out from it. So now I look at the music piece, and I just look at what could be, because everything has to evolve, and everything has to look at, you know, we're stuck in this box sometimes in special education of this is how it should be done.
Right.
And I think that's why I'm excited about this transition class, because this is the first time that we're doing something with a curriculum that's based on real skills that are in the IEP.
Yes.
And that are essential for our students.
And everybody.
Everybody.
So, you know, I have a son that's 20 years old. He's in college, he works, he volunteers, and the stuff that I have to remind him, you know, it's every day for everybody. So if these kids get it in school as a reminder, it's just another step ahead.
Right.
It's just another step ahead.
And when you learn a curriculum, you know, and what stays in your head is the, like you say, the joy of it. I enjoyed learning of some mnemonics or songs in my head that reminded me of how I'm supposed to dress for work that particular day.
Yes, yes.
Because it is hard. I mean, some students will come to work and they're not totally prepared. Maybe they were up late, you know, their cab was early.
Sure,
they didn't get their
breakfast.
You know, those things. We all get flustered and we forget our stuff. But if it's a work day where you need to be prepared, you know, even my daughter, I tried to she's a senior and it's got a lot going on. I tried to just slow her down, but it's not working.
Yeah.
But I think we all need that. And that's something else that we should talk about as well in the future, because the whole, when you mentioned cell phones and the social media, we had a professional day yesterday and we had a speaker come in and just talk about that and the data. I don't know what can be done about it, but I think that somehow of getting our students to slow down, have a routine, breathing, and music's all about breathing as well, yes. especially with singing, that this can help us with just self-regulation.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the kids are doing yoga and mindfulness,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, we do a lot
How
of that.
Important is that?
Absolutely.
It's so important. You know, getting the oxygen to the brain the right way
yep.
is
yep.
huge. It's
and
huge.
That, and that doesn't have to be a silent exercise. I
sure.
think. And that's why, how do we incorporate, so for instance, you know, for even for the, we teach our staff these techniques as well, but sometimes, you know, we'll play some type of, you know, alpha waves or delta waves, because it's really hard for somebody just to be totally quiet.
Mm.
And even all the research on these waves and what they do for the brain, theta waves, is pretty amazing in itself. But I think that, you know, if something is done through a song where you're just, you're singing the song and you're relaxing. I'll tell you the story. I don't know why this sticks in my head. I must have been 8 years old. Remember Zoom?
Yes.
All right, Zoom, I used to watch Zoom. And I can never, I always remember this episode. At the end, they used to all have to clean up and stuff.
Sure.
Right? So this episode, they said they had 30 seconds left or something like that. Right? And they had to clean up. And everybody started going nuts, right?
Sure.
And somebody said, stop. We need to slow down and do it. He says, now what we're going to do is I think he played guitar. I'm going to play a song. It's going to be nice and relaxing. I'm going to clean up. So he started playing the song, and they just started cleaning up. And they were done with like
yeah.
5 seconds to spare. But I always remember that it was done through something that they enjoyed. They were listening
mm-hmm.
to the music, and they weren't just hurrying through what they needed to get done.
Yeah, it's not about getting something done. It's
yeah.
about doing it in a way that it completes the job, but it doesn't
yeah.
have to be horrible.
No,
it doesn't have to be horrible.
Exactly.
You know, learning so much with music, it doesn't have to be horrible.
No, no. Well, I've asked all the questions that I wanted to ask. This.
You did?
I'm trying, how did I do? You did awesome.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if I forgot something, because you'll walk out the door, I'm like, oh. I think it's good to connect on this. This
mm-hmm.
is important to Lab.
Yeah.
I think people have been seeing the benefits of music. I want to thank Amplify for doing everything that they've done. You guys are
me too.
Incredible to work with.
You know, I was a hairdresser.
yeah.
Okay, I was a hairdresser that had many, many people come in to get their hair done for me in our community. Okay, so the vans would pull up, the ride would pull up, and I their ride would say, they just want to see Lisa. They just want to see Lisa. And I just fell in love with them and started to realize these were my people,
yeah,
you know? Yeah. And as a singer, I Amplify, you know, it gave me a whole new world. I don't do hair anymore. I get to sing 40 hours a week, and the joy. Yeah, I'm so grateful for it.
You've brought something to it that immediately got some excitement. Had the bright people around you to support you. Lab benefited from it. So we sing your praises. I mean, we hope anybody that's listening to this, you know, we don't like just to keep it for Lab, although we do want your time as much of it
yeah.
as we can get. But I think that, you know, for the special ed community, you know, if anybody wants more information to what they do, I'll put all the information on this podcast site. So I just think that's important and where we're evolving and looking at different ways of bringing curriculum, not just the same old way that we've done it for so many years. If you ever want to come out and observe a class, please give me a call, because I don't think that you can really fully absorb this. You know, you can hear from Lisa's voice in this podcast that she, but when you see her in a class and what she's actually doing, it's right on. And you can see the students just being so excited about, you know,
thank
coming.
You.
So please, if you want to come out and observe a class, we can always work that out as
yeah.
well. But thank you so much, Lisa. We'll be in touch. We'll do this again. I know you got some shows coming up. You just did one last week.
Yes.
So Lisa said she lost her voice when we do this. I don't think I can tell.
Yeah, I have no voice right now. I have no voice right now. I'm scratchy. It's all right.
Well, good luck with the next show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.